So this is really cool, and I've very enjoyed my time here. It's been a couple of days, but it's been great. I've been eating a lot of fish, which is really cool. We don't do fish a lot in Nebraska for complicated reasons, like no sea, you know, things like that. I thank folks like Joseph and for Mo and for, you know, Michael, who agreed to publish this book, Matthew Shinoda, who selected and edited this work, folks like Elena and Tonaya and the great staff at Copper Canyon. Folks have been really good and generous and caring about the work. And I gather by next week I should be able to actually read out of this physical thing. I'm getting some new eyes. But it's nice, isn't it? It's a nice looking book, yeah. And so thank you all, and thanks for being here, and thank you for your support of poetry. It's really important, really, really important. So I thought I'd read just a few more poems, and then we'll see where we are. Oh, by the way, the music, you know, if the program is good about it, because this is music that I listen to all the time. There's a great sort of instrumental jazz version of Natty Dread by Bob Marley, that whole album, and it's a fantastic jazz rendering of it. So Jassé on this is like stunning, it's beautiful, it's a great, great song. And then the woman you were listening to, who, you know, maybe 30 years ago, I would just decide that I was in love with her, but now, obviously, I can't do that kind of thing, because I'm in love with somebody else. And but, you know, under, you know, so since I don't know her, but she's really good, you should check it out. So it's called, the album is called Afriki, and I've decided not to know her name by heart in the event that at night things slip out, you know. I don't know her name. I don't know her name. I don't know her name. I don't know. I don't know her name. But God, she's good. Okay, good. So now that's the fun part. Now I'm going to read some poems that are just going to depress the hell out of you. So please enjoy the laughter while you can. These are just really right. Okay, good. No, not really. This is okay. So I want to start with a poem called African Postman. And this is a real reggae poem. Reggae is my life. I love reggae. I grew up with reggae. And then decided that if I was going to become an academic, I would study reggae. That way, when I'm just chilling in my office listening to some reggae, it's research that I'm doing. Don't mess with me. I'm like into higher art right here. It's like serious stuff. So lesson for you. I'm doing the lessons thing tonight. Lessons for you. If you want to have an occupation, pick something that you would do anyway. Like, you know, and then make it like a thing. You know, so peep, you know. So I'm a reggae scholar. Okay, deal with it. African Postman, for Solomon Ephraim Wolfe. Son, who is that? It's the African Postman, Daddy. Burning Spear. East from Addis Ababa, and then south, deep into the Rift Valley, I can hear the horns trumpeting over the flat-roofed acacia trees. See the African women bend low with wood heavy on their backs, and the cows, goats, donkeys, mules, sheep, and horses snapped into obedient herds by sprinting children moving along the roadside. Life happens here. I'm traveling to the land I have heard about, Shashimani, the green place, 500 acres of jazz benevolence. I know now that I long to hear the rootsman tell me how, despite rumors of his passing, the Natty keeps on riding, keeps on standing in the fields of praise to hold on to the faith of roots people. Brother Solomon, you put the name of Ephraim on your head and carry the face of the true Rasta, the face of an Ashanti warrior, eyes deep under heavy lids, and your skin tight as leather, blacker than black. I have met you before on the streets of Kingston, there where you trod to the hiss and slander of the heathen, you Natty Dread gathering the people's broken minds into your calabash. You carry it all, tell them, return to the roots, the healing shall take place. You are burning spears, voice in the fields of Teff. You tell me of the prophecy of Marcus, and I listen to you through the phlegm, through the gruff of your voice, and suddenly when I ask about the passing of the emperor, you rise up like a staff of correction, your voice reaching back to the mountains, your warrior self, your yardman greatness, and you speak a mystery of those who have ears but won't hear, and those who have eyes and won't see. And I know that this dread will one day stand in this soil and find his feet growing roots. That soon the earth will be darker for the arrival of Solomon. Oh, let the heathen rage. Let the doubter scoff. Let this Ghanaian youth whose eyes have seen the face of Jesus Christ, let him too see and marvel at the faith of the Natty. For this African postman has forsaken father and mother and has come to stand before his imperial majesty to call only him father, so that the father might call him son, and the world will carry on its weary march, and the ibises will swoop in the Ethiopian dusk, and the smoke will rise from wood fires, and the night will come with news that the rootsman, after 400 years of being told he is homeless, has come home. Yes, Jah, has come home. Sons and daughters of his imperial majesty, Haile Selassie, earth rightful ruler, without any apology say, this is the time when I will come home. Yes, Jah, oh come a hold the foe. Na le go. Na le go, na le go. I grew up in Kingston, Jamaica in the 1970s, and those are defining times in history, defining times in our lives. I remember those were times, and the poem refers to that, when you took pride in being a sufferer, you know, you're poor, you know, you don't, to have money was like a shame, you know. You wanted to live as if the struggle was your life, and I was a teenager then, but this was the way it was. We'd say, looking at you, the better one, you know, because I'm a sufferer. And those who were renegades or the useless ones would leave and fly to Miami to live there because they couldn't take the heat, you know. We took pride in that. See, another one gone, yeah. But we were the strugglers. And it was a rich, idealistic time. And then 1980 came, and it all went. And the sad reality was that we were still just puppets in a game between superpowers. That's all it was. But this is a poem also about my brother. And it's about flight. It's about escape. It's about dreaming. It's enjoying dreams and yet realizing the sadness of dreams. Palms of victory, bells of freedom. Palms of victory, deliverance is here. 1980 Jamaica Labour Party campaign song. On Kingston's flat, worn earth, everything is hard as glass. The sun smashes into the city, no breath, no wind, just the engulfing, asthmatic noonday. We move with the slow preservation of people saving their strength for a harsher time. 1980, this land has bled, so many betrayals, and the indiscriminate blooding of hope has left us quivering, pale, void. The collapse possibility is causing us to limp. We are a country on the edge of the manic euphoria of a new decade. Reagan's nodding grin ripples across the basin's surface. We dare to dream that in the spin and tongues of Capo, perhaps we too will fly this time, will lift ourselves from the slough of that dreammaker's decade, the 1970s, when we learned things only before suspected. Our capacity for blood, our ability to walk through a shattered city, picking our routine way to work each morning. We are so used now to the ruins. Perhaps more than that, perhaps to wearing our sackcloth and ash as signs of our hope, the vanity of survival. In that decade, when a locksman could prance the streets with a silver magic trail in his wake, how we thought and how we fought to be poor, to be the sufferers, to say, looking at you, the better one. How we cultivated our burden-bearing, white squall, hungry belly, burlap-wearing, Kariba-suited socialist dream. How reggae, with its staple of faith, fame, and fortune, spoke its revelation from the speakers of souped-up BMWs. Gone now. All gone. We have thrown off that dead skin now. And the fleets of squat ladders are rusting, oh Havana. We've grown too cynical for such austerity, or perhaps we did not suffer enough. So on such blank and startled days, we dream of flight. How we hope. Dance, dance, damn it. Dance, damn it. Be happy. Our apocalypse echoes on the sound system, and we dance. These laws, these new laws, these palm leaves, these clamoring bells so desperate for deliverance, this insipid green in the future. And we all stare at the unflinching sky, and we will our hearts to fly. And how you ran, sprinting down Carlisle Avenue, your face set against the bare wind. You were spreading your arms, undulating in complete faith in the wind's lift, the physics of the updraft, past the low fences, the skittish yelping dogs, the streaks of telephone wires, the hibiscus hedges, a blur of green and pink and smudged off white, and me calling you. Calling you, trying hard to bring you back, and me catching up behind you now, our heat, our panting, the slap of bare feet on the soft asphalt, and I reached for you and held you by the waist, drawing you down, and it felt in that instant not like a shattering of faith, but a struggle to keep you home, for each tendon of your body throbbed with the lightness of a body prepared for flight. And my betrayal was to become the burden, the anchor you had for years longed to shake off. Stillness. The gaping crowd staring at this sudden accident. Two men in a heap of twisted limbs on the road. And you saying, This time, if you had let me, it would have happened. I, too, felt the vanity of your beaching. The bells shimmered. The dispatches were in. No one's flying no more.
Thank you.